acceptable. A couple of passages, one from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And then that connected with the book of Judges. I believe it's chapter 3 of Judges. Judges chapter 3 and verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon at the entering in of Hamath. They would approve Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Now thinking of these two portions as the two kinds of trials in life. The first one is to get to the land, and that's the way the Lord proves us, on a daily path of trusting him and his provision. But then when we get to the land, we're there in the land, and there's warfare left. Here are the Philistines. We get them here left to prove us, to know whether we will be obedient or not. Now, our brother mentioned the religious aspect of the Philistines, and I would like to connect that with Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it is, where we get the New Testament view of it. We see the warfare in Ephesians 6 that's left to prove us. And it is a warfare. And it's a different warfare from what many people today see. Many people only see the trials of the pathway to prove them. But here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There we have our enemies, and then we have the armor. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, we can certainly see the connection, can't we? Here we have our warfare, and we've heard of the character of the Philistines. Now here we come and we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have all blessings in Christ, but where are they? See, we have all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. And between here and between there, you see, we have enemies. And there are enemies there, not to defeat us, because we've heard of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not it. It's our entering in and standing in the good of all that we have in Christ, and not being robbed out of what he has given to us. He bought our blessings with great price. Now let us not be cheated out of them, not by some man who's going to walk up and overpower me physically. That's what we're not warring against, the physical. But we war against those that will come in and convince us that the truth doesn't matter, or that a lie is truth. And now what do we have to for our defense? And that's the thing I was going to just mention in passing, that we know what we have to stand with. We have the whole armor of God. Now, you couldn't do any better than this. You can't add anything to it, and you cannot improve on it. And you cannot stand without it. So we have the armor of God to be able to stand. Not having the loins girt about with truth. You know, that's letting the truth get down to the most intimate, private part of the person. Don't spare anything from the light of what God says. Don't let Satan rob you. Or pray for me that it be not so with me, that Satan rob us. Don't let Satan rob us by having to dodge anything of the truth of God. Let it get down in there. And the truth will then gird about our beings, way down in the bottom of our beings, so that when things come out that should not come out, they're judged way down there. You see, gird about at the loins would tell us about the most intimate, way down, private thoughts. Who of a man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man? Way down there. Let the truth go way down there and let it find a lodging place. And may it we be girt about, because we read about shields and breastplates. That protects us from what comes from without to get in. But this girdle here would protect what's in from coming out. We must let the Word of God go there and judge there. The breastplate of righteousness. This is practical righteousness. We are righteous, declared so by God. But practical righteousness in the life. You see, he that is righteous is as bold as a lion, I believe there's a verse. What it means is, when something would come up to attack me, to defeat me, you see, practical righteousness in the light gives boldness and protection against something coming in to discourage us or to cause us to faint in the day of trouble. But the breastplate of righteousness would tell us that there's no way that we will ever be able to stand, or we won't have the heart for it. We just won't have the heart for the pathway without practical righteousness in the light. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Enjoyed this, you know, there are two feet and there are two sides of the gospel of peace. And it says having the feet shod, one side of the gospel of peace is that peace between man and God, that now there is peace made and man no longer is an enemy of God if he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also that side of the gospel which tells us of the peace between man and man, or the truth of the one body. The truth that now we are in Christ Jesus, part of the gospel. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace would not only tell us about that walk in the world, which would give us that liberty to talk to our neighbor about having peace with God, but it would also bring in the preparation of walking in the assembly as members of one body, the gospel of peace, where there's peace made between man and man. So having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and then taking the shield of faith. You know, there is that in life which gives peace in every circumstance, and that is the shield of faith. And no matter what might be hurled at you by the enemy, just simply to leave it with the Lord. He is able. And we'll need that as we go along, because there'll be the fiery darts of the wicked as he would send in from out there, tries to get at us, to defeat us, and to cause us to turn back from standing with Christ. But the shield of faith is that simple confidence in the Lord that he will take care of it. No use in worrying about that. Satan would say, well, what about this? Or what about that? Or what about the other? Simply leave with the Lord. Don't worry about that. The Lord will take care of that. My only part is to be faithful to him. How important it is, that shield of faith. Count on the Lord. And the helmet of salvation would tell us of that which protects the enemy's entrance into our thoughts. Because he would come in and disturb our minds and disturb our thoughts. But we have the helmet, that protection for the mind, the helmet of salvation. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We use this Word. It is our only offensive weapon We simply set forth what God has said, and the rest of it is His work. And the helmet of salvation is that certainty, that armor, that we rest in the good of what we have in the Lord Jesus, as sure as He is. And our place is in heaven with Him, and as sure as He's seated there, we shall be also. Then we have one other thing, praying always. I think that all of that, all that we have in the armor, our ability to use that armor, will come from prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And there we would have the power, the source of our energy to do all these things. But David, when he went to take the armor, they offered him the armor of Saul. And he says, well, I can't use the armor of Saul against Goliath because I don't know anything about Saul's armor. Well, may we know something about God's armor. And may we realize what the battle is, and that it be our part to be found, having done all, to stand.